one of the things that whatever happens in our life, we need to acknowledge the fact that God has loving kindness toward us. And we're going to be studying this evening from Psalms 107. We won't be all the time there, but much of what we're going to study is coming from Psalms 107. So if you'll turn there, put a marker there, because we'll be flipping back and forth a number of times. In Psalm 107, starting with verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary, and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." When many people look at this particular psalm, and I did read up on a number of commentaries and other things as well, most talk about this psalm as God redeeming the nation of Israel from Babylonian captivity. But as I read through this psalm, I was looking at it, and it doesn't really talk about the nation. It is about groups or categories of individuals. And the categories don't match the physical captivity of Israel, but they do match the troubles people find themselves in. We've been redeemed. We've been bought back from the slavery of sin. So we should express our appreciation for our Redeemer. That very same theme is echoed for us in Isaiah chapter 62. And as I mentioned, we will be coming back to Psalms 107. So Isaiah 62, and look at verse 11. "Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, lo, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. They will call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you will not be called, you will be called sought out, a city not forsaken." This is a psalm that ought to resonate with Christians. It's Psalms 107. Because those who came out from underneath the law were redeemed from the sin that the law defined. In Galatians chapter 4, Galatians chapter 4, and starting with verse 4, it says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God." Those who came out of Judaism ought to appreciate the fact that God sent his Son to redeem them, to bring them out. But it also is a appreciation that should go for those who never were under the law. In Galatians also, this time going back to chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Christ has redeemed us. God's love is not an abstract love. It shines in our lives in oftentimes unexpected ways. God is good to his people. God is good to those who fear him. In Psalms 31, look at verse 19. Psalm 31, and in verse 19. "How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. God has done good things for us and stores up other good things. And the goodness is only good if you actually practice it. Can't be just talked about. It has to be done. Take a look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and starting in verse 16. 1 John chapter 3 starting at verse 16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We need to gather together as God's people to express our joy in regards to what God has done for us. The joy that we have been given salvation, that we have been redeemed from our sins. In Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 22, let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the purpose of our gathering. It's not just to occupy time. It's here to, for us to express our joy to God that he has saved us from our sins. Now going back to Psalms 107. Take a look at verse 4. The psalmist begins to then lay out why people needed redeeming. And starting with verse 4, he says, they wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. Some people are lost, and they feel like they're alone. And it's in that hopelessness of the situation that drives some people to cry out to God for help. And God answers by showing them the quickest way out of their situation, leading them by a straight path to salvation. See, we're never really alone. God is there, and God is willing to help. In Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews 13 and verse 5, make sure your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? We ought to give thanks for what God has done for us. To recognize that the reason we're not in that hopeless situation is because God intervened. But some are in problems because of their sins. Take a look at Psalms 107 again, and in verse 10. There are those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he humbled their hearts with labor, They stumbled, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he shattered the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron asunder. Here, the problem is they were told the right thing to do. They had God's word, but they rebelled against it and didn't listen to God. This was not a case of where they just didn't know, realize God was there. They were actually rebelling against God. And notice that then God then humbled them with imprisonment and hard labor. He allowed their sins to be their punishment. And when they finally couldn't stand it anymore and saw no other way out, they cried to God and he answered. You know, Paul saw that for himself in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He talks about that in his past life. 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant. And the faith and the love which are found in Christ Jesus, it is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul was appreciative. He was in that situation because of his own ignorance. He was there because of his own sins. And yet God was willing to rescue him. God showed mercy. And Christ redeems us from every lawless deed. Not just a few, but whatever mess we get ourselves into. In Titus chapter 2, starting with verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. The only proper response when God shows mercy after we rebelled is to thank God for releasing us from our sins. Now, some people also are imprisoned and they're suffering because of their foolishness, their carelessness. In Psalms 107, and starting with verse 17, fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. Here, the description is people who became deathly ill because of their carelessness. But they cried out in their despair to God, and God answered. God rescued them from their distresses and healed them. And as we pointed out, Christ also redeemed us from our sins. In Ephesians chapter 1, and in verse 7. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. See, he rescued you and I. In chapter 2, starting at verse 1, it says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And again, if we understand what God has done for us, we got into this mess. It was our foolishness, our carelessness that put us there. And yet God was willing to rescue us. And we should thank God and worship him. The next category, though, are some who face perils, but it's because they're traveling. Take a look at starting in verse 23 in Psalms 107. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he spoke and raised up a stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They rose up to the heavens. They went down to the depths. Their souls melted within in their misery. They reeled and staggered like a drunken man, and were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he blessed them, or brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still, and so the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet, so he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them extol him, as also in all the congregation of the people, and praise him at the seat of the elders. Here the troubles are basically due to being in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's not because they brought the problems on themselves, they just were in the wrong spot. They were traveling, they just happened to be where a big storm was going through. This was, you can't say, caused directly by them. They were just in the wrong place. And yet the circumstances overwhelmed them, leaving them at their wits' end. And then they cried out to God, and the problems ended. And the psalmist says they should thank God and tell others what God has done for them. And one last category in Psalms 107, starting at verse 33. He changes rivers into a wilderness and springs of water into a thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He changes a wilderness into pools of water and a dry land into springs of water. And there he makes the hungry dwell, so they may be established an inhabited city, and sow fields and plant vineyards and gather fruitful harvests. Also he blesses them, and they multiply greatly. He does not let their cattle decrease. When they were diminished and bowed down through oppression, misery, and sorrow, he pours contempt upon princes and makes them wander in pathless waste. But he sets the needy securely on high, away from affliction, and makes his families like a flock. The upright see it and are glad, but the unrighteous shuts his mouth. Here God can change circumstances to promote his cause. taking away or giving as needed. It talks about a nation because of their wickedness. God takes away the blessings. So the land dries up, withers up because of their sins. But God can also bring it back and make it fruitful. God can and does more than we expect at times. In Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 20, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond what we ask or think, according to the powers within us." It doesn't matter if a person is powerful or lowly. What God is caring about is how the person behaves, whether they're righteous or not. For example, take a look at Psalms 31. Psalm 31 and verse 19. Psalm 31, starting at verse 19. "How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you, before the sons of men. You hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of man. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has made marvelous his loving kindness to me in a besieged city. As for me, I said in my alarm, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried to you. O love the Lord, you all his godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord." And that's what the righteous should do. The righteous should rejoice, because God loves us. In 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 10. "In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." And so the wicked, in face of all this, are silent. What do we do when life gets hard? What happens when nations get difficult? We turn to God, and God settles the matter, and we ought to rejoice. In fact, that psalm ends in Psalms 107, and in verse 43, by saying, "Who is wise? Let him give heed to these things, and consider the loving kindness of the Lord." We are God's children, not because we never face problems, but rather we ought to understand that God helps us through the problems. Some of our own creation, some of our own circumstances, but God helps us. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirits that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." God redeemed us, and he did it not with just anything. He did it with the precious blood of his own Son. In 1 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 18, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. And so we should not dismiss lightly the goodness of God, the love that he has shown for us. As Paul said in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" And as the psalmist said in Psalms 107, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Let's acknowledge the fact that God has saved us. He's rescued us and showed us such mercy that we cannot but express the joy in our hearts. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those who are children of God who would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward and we stand and sing the psalm that was selected.